Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be praised, Yahweh. Amen. Amen. Shalom, Ms. Picard. Shalom, family. I'm your brother, Ariel, here back with Kol Elohim, coming by the way of Hebrew culture, that is Hebrew culture, for those who know and understand what Hebrew means. Was out last week, just tired, that's all, tired. You know, it was just a different tired, you know. I was spiritually tired. Try to get it together, called Rabbi. I said, by 3 o'clock, I was telling myself in the morning, if it does not let up, I'm going to take the Shabbat for what it is and rest. I'm resting. So that's what I did. I wasn't ill, but I was just tired. I mean, my eyes looked like they were sunk in my head. I was looking in the mirror, and my eyes were just tired. So I took the Shabbat for what it was and rested, you know, just rest my spirit, everything, my mind, my body, just needed to relax, you know, just needed to relax. Just working in the field that I work in and a lot of other things that was happening, the constant bombarding of the human mind. And that's a good segue because that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We'll be talking about the human mind. And, again, the constant bombarding of the human mind. If we had a counter on what the mind takes in, not just on a daily, but by the minute, by the second, what the mind takes in, and it just shows the beauty of Yahweh in being the creator of man, and how they don't even look at him and understand that you are created with intelligence, by an intelligence. You know, for me, that baffles me, for man who don't even understand that there's an intelligence out there that created all this, us, everything we see, everything that goes on, and just the mind alone, just with our eyes constantly taking pictures of everything. I mean, how many people realize that our eyes take pictures of everything and our mind stores it? I don't care if it's the smallest thing that on this piece of paper that I'm looking at, everything on it, my mind takes a picture of. Everything. There's nothing that these eyes see that does not go back into. Even with your ears, if you hear it, the mind takes it in. If you taste it, it goes inside of your mind. Just that alone is just to say, hallelujah, thank you, Abba. Thank you. But let me open up with an opening prayer before I get in too far into it. And just thankful, right? Thankful on how Abba blesses us and how he had blessed us and how he continued to bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Toda Abba Yah. Shabbat Shalom, Abba. Shabbat Shalom, Yeshua Al. Abba, I come to you and ask you to continue to raise Israel up, Father. Bring us up from out of the world system, Father. Continue to bring us up and out of this world system, up and out of this beast system, Father, as you say, come out of her, my people. Continue to raise us up, Father. Continue, and we all may not be walking at the same pace, Father, but we are walking, Father. So give us your extra blessing just because we are walking, Father, and we have not sat down. We do go to the left and to the right at times, but your loving mercy, Father, I ask and pray that you bring us back to you with your loving commitment, Father, because we are human beings, Father. You understand this flesh more than anybody else, Father, because you came down and you dwelt in this flesh. That's why to praise and honor Yahushua that much more, because you came and you dealt what we had to deal with. So we thank you for that, Abba. We thank you. Your grace and your mercy, your love, your strength, your Ruach, your spirit, Father. Continue to feed us with it, Father. And I ask and pray for the Clappertons, Father, each and every member of the family of Clappertons, Father, that you touch and heal each and every one of them, Father, that you allow them and let them know that you are on the throne. You are on the throne. And nothing can touch them that will take them out without your consent, Father. Let them know that you are the one that they turn to in weakness. You are the one that they turn to in strength. You are the one that we turn to in everything, Father. Cover them, Father. Bring them out, Father. Continue to strengthen them. Continue to strengthen all of our elders, all of our Emas, Father, all of our Marais, Father, the priests, Father. Extra blessing upon them, Father, because they are tasked with a great task, Father, a great task, a honorable task, Father. Let them know the honor that is bestowed upon them, Father, so when they walk and they meet people, that Yahushua greet each and every person that they greet, Father. Our Yaladid, the children, Father, continue to put your hedge around them, Father. Continue to watch over them, Father. Continue. In Yahushua's holy and precious name we pray, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, with love and favor gave us his holy Shabbat as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Amen. Amen. Once again, family, we're talking about the mind. We're going to do a real quick recap on what we're talking about here. We've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, mind, body, and soul. Mind, body, and soul. We're actually in the fourth installment, but if you keep in count, the first one was the intro. Actually, one and two was the intro. And we're getting into the mind, body, and soul, and how important it is for it to be complete, how important it is in the process also, because it don't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. And again, as we talked about before, for those who came and said they would serve the Most High, and then their life took a turn, and it wasn't always rose. He didn't promise us that. He didn't have, Rabbi used to always say, he never promised us roses, but he did promise eternal life. That's our bottom line, right, family? We want eternal life. We want to be well done, my good and faithful servant, at the end. We want to hear those words more than anything, right? So the first one was the introduction and how we have mind, body, and soul, how we go through life and we learn through our experiences, how Abba teaches us through our experiences, how that we become better believers through our experiences, how our experiences we take to the world and be able to help somebody else out, right? Be able to share how Abba brought me out of whatever he brought me out of, right? What brought me out of darkness, right? Brought me out of a mindset that was totally against him, a mindset that when he grew up, he had to sell drugs, he had to be out there, womanizer, all the foolishness of the world, right? And how through these experiences, I can go back and talk to these young brothers and say, hey, brother, I know where you at. I've been there, done that. Yes, I was in the dark before. Yes, I lived in a house with gas and electric was off. Yes, I lived in a house. My mom was on welfare. Yes, I lived in a house where we had no food. You know, we had not enough clothes. Me and my brother had to share our clothes. So these life experiences from a child all the way up, right, that Abba teaches us how he brings us up and out. But if we do not be ashamed of him, right? Because I'm not ashamed of the way I live. The only thing that hurts is when you come to understand the love that Yahushua has for you and what he done for us. That's what hurts. that hurt, that, oh, and we all say this, if I just knew 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, if I could live life then, no, it does not work like that, family. We don't serve a fairy tale God, right? Fairy tale Mosai. We don't serve that. We serve a reality, a trueness, a realness is the words that I'm looking for. He's real. He's about living, right? And we talked about in, I believe it's too, how in the scriptures there's a lot of living within the word. So he's about the living, as he said in his word. I'm not about the dead. I'm not a fairy tale. I'm not a far off. I'm right there next to you. Even in your darkness, I'm there. I'm whispering. I'm talking to you. I'm motivating you. I'm doing all these things. I'm showing you by example how I got out of it, how I did it. You know, you got that young brother who's out there, and his mother is an IV drug user. I can talk to that brother because I grew up in a household with a mother who was an IV drug user, a brother who was a crackhead. I grew up in that. In that same situation, we all grew up and we was all tainted by this world. We was all had our perceptions molded by this world. We're going to talk about that a little later, perceptions, get into the mind. But let's not shy away from the experiences that we had, that we have had and have, right? Because somebody out there is using that as an excuse why they can't serve the Most High, why the Most High don't love them, because they see me in the situation that I am. And where was you at when my father was beating on me? Where was you at when my mother was running the streets? These are questions that the world had for the Most High. Where was you at when I had to run away at 14 years old, go into group homes at 14 years, and this is my older sister, 14 years old. I remember counselors, social workers coming to our house. We having group meetings. My brother in and out of group homes, right? Because we was the typical black family, right? The typical family that lived down in the projects, the typical family that grew up inside the inner city, that was all pointed and directed for us to fail. It was set up like that. And it's still engineered for us to fail. And there's some that slid through the crack or made it through. But there's a lot that don't. And when they get in those situations and don't know how to get out, and then they angry at Yahweh. They angry at our Father. Because the main question for them is, where were you at when this, that, and the other was happening to me? Where were you at in their mind when I needed you? When the person that I love the most in my life thing that was doing good in my eyes, to me, you allowed to die. We all heard these questions. But the reality of it, right, he is a real Most High. So we have to take the same life experiences that we've been through. Now we got to go show them, as my brother Yahweh would say, the practicality of the word, the living of the word, right? To making the word a living, right? To be a living sacrifice, right? As, look at that. Look out. What was Yahushua? He was the word walking, talking, and living. If the scripture calls him the word, he was everything we just talked about. He was the living word. He was the living word. So we must become the living word to these people, because they hurting. They need help. And us, in our own frailties, we in the same boat at times. We in the same boat. We're going to read through some scriptures. We're going to read through some things tonight to show that, as y'all said before, mankind is mentally challenged. And I know I said just black people, but I'm going to get across the board. Mankind is mentally challenged. Matter of fact, we're going to read that in the Word tonight. The Word says that. The Word says that about the mind of men. It's mental. It's mental. And the thing that Abba have given us is psychiatry, right? To understand psychiatry, the state of the mind, right? Something to get down in there and help us to see clearly, to help us to see, in other words, a sober mind, right? That's what he's given us with his word. But we're not even going that route tonight. We're just going to see some information tonight, a little bit, how man is being manipulated in his mind, how we are being manipulated each and every day in our mind, and the fight is constant, steady, steady, steady. And here's the thing. It's slow. It may not always be hard, right? It may not always be wind, storm, lightning, thunder. It may be just as subtle, calm, and quiet, and peaceful, right? Now, brother, how you going to say it's peaceful? How we going to be fighting a peaceful fight? Because the scripture says, no marvel, because Satan has changed himself into an angel of light. No marvel that his angels have turned themselves into an angel of light. So if he has to come peaceful to you, if he has to come quiet to you, if he has to come and whispering in your ears, for the most part, that's how he do believers. He whispers in their ears. For the most part, because he know with a lot of rah-rah, he can't get a seasoned veteran believer that's been in it for a minute. We see that. But a lot of times how he get us is subtle. It was what the scripture say about the serpent. We know who the serpent is. Hello. Satan. See, he was more subtle than any other beast. How much more now have he known man, have he got to know mankind? He's subtle. Ooh, that sounds good. Oh, yeah. Okay. We don't even know. We done lost the battle. Why? Because he came peaceful. He didn't come with thunder and lightning. He don't always come like that. We talked about last week before last, we talked about the soul, right? We talked about the soul is the immortal part of human beings, and how Yahweh have in Bereshit, Genesis 2:7, how he takes and blows in the nostrils of man, right? He is the one that gives the soul, the spirit to mankind. It's him who gave it, right? We went in Yeshua, Ezekiel, how he is also the one that takes that soul back, right? He is the one that all souls are mine. All mankind is mine. Everything that breathes, that has breath, the scriptures say, praise him. Why? Because it's his breath. It's his spirit. It's his soul, right? He also said, I'm the one to take it back. Scriptures, we show how the scriptures says that our souls go back to him. This dirt, this body goes back to where it was formed from, the dirt, right? The soul still living. It's still going on. You, the essence of us, is still there. While this body that we take so much care of, right? We take so much care of this body. So much care. Each and every week, we grooming ourselves. We making ourselves beautified, right? Male and female. Beautified, right? We try to put on the right outfits every day. If you got Gucci sneakers or Tansy Pride sneakers, and that's showing my age. I know supermarket sneakers, right? Because I had supermarket sneakers. I had Tansy Pride sneakers when I was coming. But you know what? Even with them supermarket sneakers on my feet, my mother still made sure I was matching, still made sure that I didn't look like a crayon box going out the house. Even in that, we wanted dignity, right? We still wanted a little bit of dignity for this flesh, right? We're just showing how we're going to take care of this flesh regardless. We don't walk out this house any kind of way. We ain't got to buy the Gucci. We ain't got to buy that. But even we buy some Jack Mansells, we're going to put it together for them Jack Mansells. You know, make sure if you're a woman that your skirt, your dress is nice, man, he going to iron his clothes. And my brother, Shabba Al, he the only brother that I still know, he going to crease his pants. He going to put that sharp crease in it where you could stand that boy up. And you know, when we was growing up, that was the standard. If you had that sharp crease in your pants, you'd be able to stand them pants up. My brother Shabba still rocks it, still irons them pants. Just to show how we beautify ourselves, right? Me, myself, I got to get my outfit together at night because that's how I am. I'd rather get my outfit together, and it got to be matching. It got to be matching. I'm just not going to go out the house in my mind. No, any kind of way. Why can't I just slip anything on and go outside the house as long as I got shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, underwear? Everything is clean. No, it can't be like that. Right? We beautify this thing that we call flesh, this dirt that's going to go back to the dirt. I don't care who you are. Everybody do it. Everybody want to beautify themselves one way or another. Was rocking those veils all the time. They would have them veils matching with the dress. They look good. But let me pull that back. It's not a sin to look good. It's not a sin to groom yourself. The thought is we beautify the flesh more than we look towards this soul, right? More than we understand how the soul is the one that's crossing over to the kingdom. It's not a sin. Now, you hear somebody on here, oh, you can't even dress up. You can't even look nice. Yes, you can. I would say he didn't say you can't. But we, again, why we even got to give out disclaimers? Because if somebody's mind is going to go left, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, somebody going to have a thought that goes across the street, take it somewhere else, the simple things of a human being. These little simple things. But Abba said, I want y'all to be whole. I want y'all to be complete. I want y'all to be complete, right? I want you to be complete in mind, body, and soul. But back to going back. We learned that there's a, when you die, you cross over, and there's a, you meet Yahushua. And when you meet him, you get a tour. You get a tour of the kingdom. For 7 days, you get a tour. And if you did what you were supposed to do in his flesh, you rest in peace. You rest in Abraham's bosom. But if you didn't do what you were supposed to do while you was in this flesh, you rest. You don't get no pleasant rest, the scripture says. You don't get that. You get what we read in our believers, the book of Mark or book of Luke, one of them, book of Matthew, or Matthew's, right? And talks about how when Yahushua gave, it wasn't a parable, he gave a scenario of Abraham's bosom and the big a nice gulf between these two, that the rich man Lazarus, he lives not serving the Most High, and the poor man Lazarus, and the brother who was rich, the rich man, he lived life full. He didn't serve the Most High. He was in torment when his soul was in torment. And it was so hot that he asked Abraham, if you could just, now let's take this. Let's hold this thought in our mind, how hot this is. If you could just take your finger and dip it. You know how we used to do this, kid. You take that finger, you dip it in the water, and you take that little drop of water. I don't know why we did it, but we did it, right? He said, if you do that, he'll be satisfied with the heat, right? Hey, and now somebody shoot me a text, let me know I'm all right. I'm not just talking to me, talking. I've been gone into it for a minute, though, but yeah, hallelujah. Yahweh word to be done. So we learned about that. We learned about how the soul will live on. And Torah Akote, Torah, how the soul will live on, right? We learned about these life experiences, and what about these life experiences that we can take out to the world and give to the world. Torah Aki, Torah, hallelujah, coming through. How we could take these things into the world, right? These are the things we've been learning so far. Because, again, especially with Bet Yahweh, know the word. But how much do you know yourself, right? How much you know yourself? You know the word, been studying the word. Allah has given us the Ruach HaKodesh to open up his word, to be able to sit down with anybody, from the children all the way up. The word is there. And if you came in the door with Beth Yahweh, you only got to be there for a year. And Abba has opened your eyes with the teaching he has been giving us. You'll be able to sit down with almost anybody in the world. That's how much love he's been showing us. But now he wants us to say, how much you know yourself? Why you act the way you act? I remember Rabbi said that, told me to ask somebody that years ago. Why you act? And we all can ask that same question. Why you act the way you act? Do you even know? And it was a thought for me first, right? It was a thought that Abba gave me. Why you do the things you do? You say you love me. Right? Right. Other day, he woke me up with a question on my mind. I told me and Brother Harvey, we talk out every day, right? And hallelujah for that. I thank Abba Yah for that. And prayfully, we get to talk. I get to talk to all my brothers like that, and we all get those aha moments every day. But he woke me up with the question, am I worth fighting for? Right. And it stuck with me, right? Am I worth fighting for? This is the thing that comes straight on my mind, right? And I'm reliving it as we talk, right? Because I can hear just as loud and clear as I can hear my own voice. Am I worth fighting for? You remember? It starts with me, right? But it goes out to each and every believer. Each and every. Then why you do the things you do? Because he followed up with that. Am I worth fighting for? Right? Why you do the things you do? See, I told you, he's real. He ain't no far-off mighty one. He's real. He wants us to live this life so we can learn that a believer how to truly say, I love Yah first. A lot of us say that. I love Yah first. Real is that? Real is that? But he gave an evidence scripture. We ain't going to read them. Matityahu 22, 37 to 38. And they asked Yahushua, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, to love. He gave it, love Yahweh with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Right? And that has been our mantra. Started this. That has been our mantra. That scripture right there. Because it's a commandment to love in all three facets of you. Mind, body, and soul. That's a commandment for each and every human being. How you prove this commandment? Love your brothers and sisters. How you love your neighbors. That's the proof of the first commandment. He just gave me a aha moment as we talking, right? You know what? You want evidence of that? That you love me with all your mind, body, and soul? It's how you love humanity. It's how you treat humanity. And we want to be there. But again, hey, get right, because it's a process. It's a process. And then taking some of us, me included, a little longer, right, to learn this process, right, to learn to love the love of Yahushua, right? And am I stretching it? Am I going out of scripture? Am I jumping out of bounds with this? John, in one of the epistles of Beaver, John 1, says, how can you love Yah who you never seen? Don't show love to your brother or your sister or humanity. That's impossible. How you gonna love something you never seen? But something is in your face all the time and you nasty too. You got isms and schisms with, you got these little things against. How is that? How? So Abba just showed me all the time I've been reading that. You know what the evidence of commandment is? How you perform the second one. That's the evidence. Right? And you know what, though? If it's cutting, if it's hurting, it's supposed to. Because it's cutting and it's hurting me. It's stepping on my toes as well. It's supposed to. That's what his word's supposed to do for us. Right? As those who say, we love Yah, he, that is the greatest commandment, is to love Yah first, the process. He want us to know us. Tell you, he want us to know us, right? He want us to know us, right? But we didn't talk about the first commandment. Let's go to, and the second commandment. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let me read the scripture. Right. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, because this is, and we be reading out of the King James tonight, family. Which I do not like, but I'm going to do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We're talking about mind, body, and soul. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. No, that's not it. Let me look for that. Open the scripture, family. That was another mantra of mine, of mind, body, and soul going in completely. Maybe I'm in the wrong one. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. My eyes got a little crossed on me. Forgive me, God. And the very Elohim of Shalom sanctify you, set you apart, you holy. You know, all of us, right? Mind, body, and soul. And I pray, Elohim, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Adonai Yahushua HaMashiach, our Master Yahushua HaMashiach. Right. This is a prayer that Brother Shaul was praying for, that the Father of peace, the Father of Shalom, make us a whole sacrifice, right? Mind, body, and soul, right? Because if one off, guaranteed the rest are off, right? Guaranteed the rest of us are off, right? So we talking about the mind tonight, family. And just want to read a couple definitions. We want to read what is the mind. And think about it. Let's with this information that we're going to go through tonight, fam, because we're going to go through some information. And again, we talked about, it's a lot of information that the human mind take in on a daily. The mind is the set of faculties, including the cognitive aspect, such as the consciousness, imagination, perception, thinking, intelligence, judgment, language, and memory, as well as the non-cognitive aspects such as emotions and instinct. If you want, you can go to Wikipedia and you can look that up, look up mind, right? And that's the thing. Just take in all of that, your emotions, right? The language, the intelligence, even it says judgment, the memory, all the things we just talked about, right? Everything we just talked about. But one of the things that set out, right? One of the things that set out to me in that definition was the perception, right? How we perceive things. So maybe somebody do not understand that. So let's just read some definitions. Let's go to, I got the collegiate definition from the Webster's Dictionary, and I'm going to read that for. And it got four different ones, right? But hear all of them. And if you ever get a chance, look it up. Look what perception is. Because sometimes we think we know, but it's good to go look things up because it may broaden what you know about it, right? Because, again, we're talking about the mind. Because that's the battlefield, right? The battlefield is the mind. 1A, a result of perceiving observation. 1B, a mental image, concept, right? 2, consciousness, right? 3A, awareness of the elements of environment through physical sensation, right? Just listen to that. Everything, right? All this is with the mind, right? 3B, physical sensation interpreted in the light of experience, right? 4A, quick, acute, and intuitive. 4B, a captivity for comprehension, right? You're able to comprehend. That's what the mind is. All is the mind can do for you, right? All this. So with that, let's listen to, I'm going to take my earpiece off, family, and I'm proud to put the phone close as possible to a 10-minute video about the mind, right? And how all these things get bogged in our mind. How? And now let's look back for wherever we're at in our life, and how we think and how we perceive things, right? Let's, one more thought before I turn on the video. Just think of how Satan and what he did to Adam and Hawa. He changed their perception of the word of Yahweh, right? He changed it. She knew what Yahweh said, but he changed how she perceived it. How much more is he doing to the world today? In their perception. How much more? Arguments? Because they have perceived things wrong. Instead, he's sitting there asking a question. I didn't understand. I really don't understand. But because we perceive wrong, our emotions get attached to it. Remember, all this is in the mind. All this is a part of the mind. And now, because our emotions is attached to it, our perception is off. No more comprehending at that point. Perception, our emotion, all these things inside of the mind, right, that's working in the human being. And Hillel understands that. Satan knows that. We don't know that about ourselves. Hillel do. Respond to certain things. Hillel did. Satan does. He studied us. He observed us. He watched us. The same as we talked about. Yah did the same thing, but he just went a step further. He put it on. He came down. He dwelt in it. and he was able to overcome. He was able to overcome. Perception. He changed Eve's perception, who went and changed the husband's perception. And doubt came into the world, and that's when sin came in. Perception. Let's ask questions. Let's not jump to conclusions all the time. Ask a question. Simple. Explain that to me. I'm thinking this way. Can you come and help me and straighten out my thoughts? Straighten out why I think this way. How many arguments can been head off at the pass if a person just jump to conclusions, didn't perceive something somebody said, or even didn't say it? They trying to read somebody's body language. Sometimes you can. That's not just act. Some mouth. Now we say, just ask. If you want knowledge, ask me. If you want to know, ask. Conclusion. What he should have did, we know the story. We just given an assumption, right? Hold on. Let me go to my husband. See what he said. You go to Abba. Abba. See what you said about all the trees and this one tree right here. Can you break that back? Bring that back to me. Okay, no, don't eat of it, right? Halal, he said, just don't eat of it. That's it, period. Ask a question. Just ask. But it's too late now, because we all after Adam now, right? We all are made in the image and likeness of Adam. These emotions that's all over the place, all out of control, right? We're going to get there, too, about how the Spirit of Yahweh will control, allow us to control our emotions. But we've been believers for a long time, and a lot of us, we ain't controlling our emotions. I mean, 20, 10, 20, 15 years. Because we don't know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. We don't know what triggers us, how we respond to things. We don't know. And that's why we go on this route, because Abba want us to know us. He want us to know so we can be able to find out what triggers us. And if you can find that out, woo, you're ahead of the game. You're his again. This is what he told me. I want you to learn you so Halal can stop using you as much. Period, right? So he can stop using you as much because you know you. You understand you. I gave you the power. Every believer has the power to defeat him. But if we don't know ourselves, he'll easily trigger us at any time. Perceive things wrong, right? At any time. Let me get into this video and listen to this video and try to take in. The beautiful thing about this family is we'll be able to, let me make sure this is on speaker and we all can hear it. We'll be able to, it's in the archives. Give me a second to take out my earpiece and put the phone on there.
Y'all still there? Still can hear? All right, I'm about to start the video. 9 minutes.
Overwhelmingly controls my perceptions. They don't want us to know the true nature of reality. Because if we did, then the pennies would start to drop on why human society is as it is. You don't need a scientific mind to understand the world. You do not need an academic mind to understand the world. perceptions back. It's very clear that humanity is being manipulated generation after generation into what I might call a perceptual bubble. Perceptions are everything. What you perceive is how you behave. It's everything. It's your perceptions, what I would say programming, because if you look at a human life, you come out of the womb and you hit parental programming, which is not through malevolence, but the parents have been through what you're about to go through and bought it, so they pass that programming on to you. You hit the educational system at an ever earlier age, and now throughout your formative years, you've got representatives of the state who are giving you the state's version of everything all the way through your formative years. The media is pounding the same version of reality at you. Science is telling you that. And then you've got peer pressure around you that's been through the same programming of perception and accepted it and believed it. And they give you a hard time if you have a different perception to what they've been programmed to have. And basically, we've got a situation where from cradle to grave, a human life is a perceptual download. And this consensus waves away any idea that reality, as mainstream science tells us, ludicrous, that there can be any manipulation of human society by a non-human force we can't see. And all the perceptual download holds us in this narrow band of sense of the possible bubbles. That people are breaking out of them now more and more, but most of us are still in this bubble. And this bubble has a reflex action response to anything that is not in the perceptual range of the bubble. So when people like me come out and say, blah, 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 we're being manipulated by a non-human force, the bubble reaction is, you're mad. This is how the perception thing works. And what I'm saying is when you study it deeply, these perceptual bubbles constantly are underpinned by what we call the education system, by the media and all that stuff. And journalists, where do they judge, report the world from and observe the world from? The bubble, because they've been through the same perceptual download as everyone else. It's the blind leading the bloody blind, really. And so we have this situation where you've got this perceptual tramline. And it's been done systematically. They don't want us to know the true nature of reality. They don't want us to know the true nature of history. Because if we did, then the pennies would start to drop on why human society is as it is. And how mysteries can be explained with perfect, simple logic, once you realize what reality is as opposed to what we're told it is. And if we are going to turn this world around, people have to take their perceptions back and realize that the world they think they've been experiencing all their lives ain't the one they're actually experiencing. And once you realize how this reality really works, then you start to understand that this cabal, it knows that. It knows how we decode reality. It knows that we decode reality and experience reality as a result of the perceptions we have. Thus, not only can they get people to believe things, but through the beliefs they get people to accept and to believe are real, they're also dictating people's experience. And the whole thing is a perceptual trick, a perceptual magic trick. Now, where do we get our perceptions from? We get them from information received. We get them from a personal experience. That's information. We get them from the 10 o'clock news. We get them off a Facebook post. We get them off a radio station or whatever. And from that information, we form our perceptions, which then become our behavioral responses. So who controls information overwhelmingly controls mass perception. And this is why this death cult controls the media. This is what all the censorship now is all about. It's to stop other information being received by people, to challenge the official narratives of everything, and in challenging them, as we've both seen the power of it, to change perception as a result of having an access to a different perspective and source of information. They're trying to cut that off. It's what it's all about. And this is why, to an extent, the mainstream media will go so far, because it has to maintain any credibility, like the Epstein thing. But it stops. It stops before the finger comes out the dike. You need a scientific mind to understand the world. You do not need an academic mind to understand the world. You need an open one. And when you open to information as it exists, rather than stay on the postage stamp and ignore that, then you start to see the world as it is. Don't confuse the limits of your mind with the limits of possibility. They're not simple. You must keep the target population in conflict and at war with itself. Divide and rule. Because while the target population is at war with itself, they are not seeing who's controlling all sides with the same hands on the strings. It's all about perception. Because they know that perception becomes behavior, the behavior becomes society. And you see this everywhere you go. When you're not telling the truth and you cannot explain yourself in a way that isn't sinister, then you have to lie. And if you lie, then your lies better be pretty damn bloody good. And you better be pretty damn bloody right. If you keep repeating a lie, eventually it becomes true. And this is how they work. And the media, of course, which is ultimately owned by this cult, if you don't keep it up, they play the game of repeating untruths till they become it. Everyone knows that, mate. This is a cult which has an agenda for human control on a global and technological level. We need to start going down this road and not being intimidated into silence, not being intimidated into sharing things. Why is this happening? Why are these people always being protected? And we've just got to close the backbone, because the evidence is there. And it just needs to come out. The mainstream everything, whether it's mainstream science, mainstream media, mainstream politics, mainstream everything, is telling you what the mainstream everything's ultimate control is, which, if you go deep enough, is the cult, wants you to believe. So the mainstream media basically says question nothing. But you've got RT saying question more, but not too much. And then you've got people like me who say question everything, everything. Take everything off the table as a gimme. Familiarity is a wonderful way of mind controlling perception. Because once something becomes familiar, it becomes a gimme, it becomes unquestioned. That's just how things are. Everyone knows that, mate. Question everything. And when you do, you'll see almost none of it stands up. Not least the nature of reality and who we are and where we are. And that's why they're censoring people. They're exposing aspects of the cult agenda. That's what it's all about. And so you can either sit around and moan about it and say, oh, that's tough, isn't it? Oh, you know, we're on a martyr. Or you can say, okay, are we going to deal with it? So we have to deal with it and prepare for it. And that's what we've done.
Hold on, family. I'm putting the earpiece back in. Told you it was just 10 minutes, but lots of information. Excuse me. Let me try to get this computer off. No, I have no idea.
Republicans, the gun lobby, and Fox News are once again lying and making ridiculous excuses for everything.
All right, there we go. And that was David Icke, Icke as in Tina, Icke and Tina, David Icke, I believe that was I-C-K-E, and that was, I was told not to say that. That's the name of the YouTube thing. If you want, I can send it out on the line. Just say send it out, and I'll send it out on the line. Those who want to get in here and go over it and make, because sometimes you hear things, and again, we talk about the mind, it don't catch it. But you go and listen to it again, and you're like, oh, I didn't hear that the first time, right? So if you want it, I'll send it out. And again, programming, right? It's the mind, what we know as the CPU, the central processing unit, right? That mankind has stolen everything from Yahweh's intelligence, right? He's stolen everything from his intelligence. We know they modeled the computer after the man. They modeled the car after man. Everything that Yahweh intelligence designed, man takes, you know what, we can learn from that, and we can duplicate it one way or another, right? One way or another. So, and with this CPU, our mind, the central processing unit, that is our mind, that what he was talking about, the programming, right? It has been programmed since we were kids. Since we were kids, there have been different programs put into our minds, you know, and sometimes they was good, sometimes they was bad. Sometimes we grow up and we look and say, well, this is, I've been doing this my whole life. This is how my mother act. This is how my father act. These are things that I saw as I was growing up. So that have been programmed in our minds, right? It's there. Programming has been there for many of us. And we don't even see that. We don't even understand it because what we were saying for the most part, that's just how I am. And y'all got to change that, right? Because we done picked up a many things from our family members, from our mothers and fathers, from our brothers, from our schools, childhood schools we've been through, our friends, right? Everything across the board has been downloaded into our minds, right? You take your mind to the movie Matrix. I was showing me something a little different about that. You know, and maybe y'all been thought about it. But for me, he just showed me something a little different about that. Because the first thing you ask somebody, well, what is the Matrix? You know, when you see the Matrix movie, for those who quote unquote woke, they got a quote unquote understanding of the movie. They can tell you if you ask them, well, what Matrix mean to you? What you see in the Matrix, right? And it's only a small group of people who really know what's really going on in this world. You know, for the most part, that was my thinking, right? Oh, look at that. And the agents, they the demons, right? They the demons that's running behind the true believers and those who know, for the most part, everybody else is still asleep. Still asleep, right? And we the only ones woke because we got the truth, right? It has some truth to that, right? It has some truth to that. You know what Albert showed me what the Matrix was? He told me the Matrix is our mind. That's the Matrix. It's your own mind, your own individual mind with programs running in it, right? Because you think about it, and we all, you know, the movie is a five-star movie for us, right? You go back and you see the movie. Every time they was plugged up, where was they at? In the Matrix. What was being filtered in their minds, programs. We don't look at, I didn't look at the Oracle as a program, but she was a program in Morpheus' mind, more so than anybody else's. A perception, right? On what we're talking about. A perception on how he thought. The agent, a perception on how we think, right? The architect of the movie. He still is a program. The agents was programs. All these programs inside of the Matrix, what we know and understand is our minds, right? Same thing he just talked about for the Lord 10 minutes. All the programming that have been done to us our whole life. Why we think the way we think? Because how we've been programmed. There's a way that we can change it. But why we think the way we think is because of how we've been programmed, how we've been brought up, how we've been taught. And though we've been in the Word of Yahweh for many of years, many of us, we still think the same way. We still react the same way. And yes, we're going to get to those scriptures, renewing of your mind and that stuff. But we're only dealing with the information today on how it got there. We'll deal probably next week, or week after next week, we're going to be dealing with the mind probably for the next 2 weeks, because that's battleground. The battlefield right there, the mind. And you know what? Halal had a head start. Satan had a head start for a lot of us. Even the babies who have been brought up this way, they're not exempt from getting caught up in the programming. They're not exempt. Why you think Abba had to tell them, train up a child in the way they may grow. When they depart, they shall return. Why he had to say that? You teach the baby, you groom them in the Torah, you groom them in the Yahushua. Hey, they're going to go out there. They're going to test the world. But they'll return. Why? Because it's put in them. Because the world, the programming, will snatch us, will pull us, pull on us, tug on us. But it's an awful experience. So they can go out there, and at that time, they'll be as we are in our Adam moment. Why you just ain't stop, Halal, Abba? Why you ain't stop them? Because they need to know that I'm good. Child been brought up this way all their life, haven't experienced the world. When they get out there and experience the world, and they see how much the world is not like me, prayfully they'll see how good I am. Same thing. We all gonna go through that Adam experience, right? What I would call it, the Adam experience. Those who grew up in the faith. Those who now got to go out there and test what they believe in. Now they got to get out there and serve Yahweh, as we all do. We all have to get in our daily lives to serve Yahweh. Yahweh has to become what we talk about in Matityahu, Matthew's 5. What is that, Matthew 5? No, 22:37. To love Yahweh with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Right. Come to that. We have to go to that process. Three more scriptures, family. Ain't long tonight. Three more scriptures, and they're just real simple scriptures. And we're going to Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh, right? Give me a minute. I'm going to try to talk. Proverbs 7, family. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee. But in his heart is not with thee. He is not with thee in his mind. What is in our mind? How we perceive things is how we're going to act towards one another. Right? How we, our perception is how we're going to act. How we're going to see. How we're going to respond. How we're going to deal with one another. Our perception. That mind right there, right? As a man thinketh, as a woman thinketh, so is they, right? That's the battleground. That's what Abba is trying to change. He's trying to change how we think. He's trying to change us. He's trying to change it. He's trying to get us to see who we truly are. Brother Shaul came to see who we are. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. And Brother Shaul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That you're still not living a righteous life. That don't mean that. See, again, we've been taught this way of life and brought up in this way for so long. Right? If a person got this messed up disposition all the time, you know and understand that they're not allowing the Ruach HaKodesh to do what it's supposed to do. But they don't mean, they ain't meaning that they're not living their righteous life. Oh, how you going to say that, Brother Ariel? Come on now, you didn't jump off the boat with that one. Because what is righteous? What is Torah? What is Torah? Right? If Torah is righteous, they live in a righteous life. They come into service every week. They keeping all the feast days. They don't wear mixed clothing. They doing everything inside of the cup. But now, again, I'm not saying that that's not going to be detrimental to them, to us who do not change. That will be detrimental to you. Scripture come and say, and Kephas, Brother Kephas, the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Although that brother, that sister show up at every Shabbat, every feast day, don't wear mixed clothes, don't eat nothing unclean, but they haven't begun to change. They haven't begun place within them. You cannot get in that kingdom. It's a completeness, remember. It's a complete human being, complete believer that's going in that kingdom. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Go back and read it. It's complete. He said, I hope that you get in there complete. For you dot every I, cross every T, for the laws are to be done. But we are not changing or cleaning the inside of our cup. That mind is not changing. We are not allowing the Ruach to change us. All the programming that we've been through. And once we admit that we've been through programming, we have been programmed. That's the battle. That's some of the battle won right there. Because now you can start deleting all the programs that we don't want in there and start deleting. The Spirit will give you that power. And we ain't getting there yet, though. We're going to deal with this mind point of view, as Abba said, and we'll get to that part later, how to clean that mind up. So let's go to Proverbs 4, family thing. Starting at verse 23 all the way down to 27. We got one more scripture after that. We're going to close on now. Keep thy mind with all diligence. Right? You know the scripture say heart, but he's talking about your mind. Keep your mind with all diligence. Fight. Fight each and every day. He gave us that power. And we ain't talking about that yet. For out of issues of life, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thy eyes look right on and left. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all the ways be established. All thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. But before you can do all what we just read from 24 on down to 27, you got to first diligently, the scripture says, to keep that negativity out of your mind, to continue to put it out of your mind. Allow that process. Allow it to work. Allow the Spirit to work. Work if we let it. Let it work. Ashamed. We cannot be ashamed of our shortcomings, of our frailty, of our weakness. We cannot be ashamed of that. Because where we are weak, Yah is strong. If you truly believe in the word, it says that you can do all things through Yahushua who strengthens you. So we cannot be afraid and ashamed of our weaknesses. Stand on the altar. Strengthen me, Abba. Give me the strength. Care less how they look at me. Care less how they perceive me. As long as I'm right in your sight. Right? Your door for us. One more scripture, family, and that is in Romans 3. Yeah, not all. We're not going to read but that one, Romans 3. Let me get a drink of this water here, family. Well, I think now we'll be reading these scriptures if we know enough of your minds, right? But thought is for next week, right? Don't want to, again, too much information for the human mind. It starts to shut down, start to get overloaded, and we start to drift off in la-la land, right? We start to go somewhere else where our thoughts and our mind. Halal know that. Satan know that. He come right in. Oh, you remember the football game last week? And whatever the teacher's talking about, we done slid off into something else. You know what? You're a little sleepy right there. Why don't you go to sleep? All right. So let me read this last scripture in Romans 12:3. Excuse me. Somebody came in and sent the text. See that? See how I allowed these? Distraction. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as Yah have dealt to every man the measure of faith, right? Not to think highly of ourselves, right? But to think soberly, to be sober-minded, the scripture also says, right? You know, and it also talks about in Revelation how we was drunk with the wine of our fornication. So you just take that part right there. Where as though you're drunk, you know, at least if you have been or you know somebody have been, you know that we ain't thinking straight. We ain't on the right mindset. It's a little off, right? So with that, I would say, well, look up soberly. Because when a man do this, when a man think this way highly or more of himself, right? Because if we take the contrast or the opposite of soberly, what is that? What is that you're thinking? What is that? Then that means you're drinking as a drunkard. You're thinking as a man that's out of his mind, man or woman. You're not in the right mindset when you think highly of yourself. But let's just look up that word soberly, right? Real quick. And that is in the Greek concordance. 4993, and that is our soul from duo, and it's from 4998, to be sound mind, right? Sane, right? So he said, don't think highly of yourself, think sane. So in essence, what he's saying is, if you do think that way, said earlier, we mentally challenged, right? God said, so the scripture is going to prove that it says that we are mentally challenged, right? If we think that way. Now, you have to take Abba, right? You have to take and why he gave us his Torah and what he wants to do for mankind, how he wants to bring mankind to his bosom, and I'm going to give mankind a set of rules, right? Just put yourself in the parent position, right? Put yourself there. I got to give mankind a set of rules so he won't even kill himself. He won't kill himself. He won't kill his neighbor. If you put yourself in that situation and you're telling your kids that you're looking at your kids crazy, I got to tell you don't kill one another. Tell you not to defraud one another. What you get down. Why are you up there on that ladder for? With that horse. You understand? Are we understanding and seeing just through the eyes of Yah? Get down. What's up there for? I told you, bestiality. I got to tell you, don't lie with beast kind. Don't lie with a man like you lie with another man. Don't lie with another woman. I got to tell you these things. I tell you, wife, love your husband. Don't cheat on your husband. Supposed to be one to tell you these type of things. Yeah. we've been getting challenged. We need that. We our perception is all messed up. We all over the place with our emotions and our perception. But he loves us. He understands this flesh because he dealt in it. He came and dwell in this flesh. And we can go on and on and on throughout the Torah, the things that mentally challenged that Abba has to tell us not to do. You upset with your brother for? You're going to be in mad? Y'all supposed to love each other? Y'all going to be in mad? You ain't got no respect for him? But you love him? Huh? Husband, you can't love your wife. You won't lay down and die for her? But you want her to roll over on her back for you every time you want her to? Die for her? That's you? That's y'all what we want for us. Supposed to love her as you love yourself. And so on and so on and so on and so on and so on. See how messed up we are as human beings? Perception is terrible. How we are mentally challenged and how Abba got to give us a piece of him so we can even have a little bit of sanity in this world. And I'm sorry, Ema, we didn't get to that. I'm sorry. Ema know what we're talking about. Hallelujah. We'll get to it, though, Ema, before Pesach comes. We're going to get to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is the end of my Torah portion tonight, family. That is the end. So let's look in that mirror, right? Let's go and look in that mirror, and let's start deprogramming ourselves on how we think and how we react towards one another. Because, again, the test on how you love Yahweh, the proof, is the second greatest commandment, how we treat one another. That's the proof right there. I'm talking about mankind. Mankind across the board. How you love them, how you treat them. And he said, love her, amen, right? Sometimes you ain't got to like them all the time, but you got to treat them with respect and love, male or female. You can't go to bed with grudges. At the end of my Torah portion, family, let me get to the benediction. And next week, I mean, not my Torah portion, you know, the blog talk. Rabbi, I got the Torah portion tomorrow. Later on today, matter of fact. Blessed are you, Yahushua, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Shabbat. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Yisrael with shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, Torah Abba Yah for your wisdom. Torah Abba Yah for your Ruach HaKodesh, your spirit, Father. Torah Abba for blessing us, Father. For letting us see us, Father. Father, may we continue to grow and may you continue to sift our mind, continue to delete programs, continue to root up, to tear down, to rebuild, to establish our feet, Father, on that straight and narrow path, Father, to let us be firmly fitted in Yahushua's shoes, right? Let Yahushua grow within us, Father. Continue to give us your spirit of Yahushua, Father, that he may grow within us so there be no more us, Father. So there be no more us. May our process be shortened, Father. In Yahushua's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael. Shabbat shalom. Till next week, Yah willing. Amen.
So used to losing, you're a even with your brother.